Welcome to Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. This sermon is part of our mission to bless our neighbors to the glory of God. We hope it blesses you. Our show and tell this morning is a silver mine. This silver mine is in Bolivia, and this photo was taken about 9 years ago. But this mine looks like underground mines looked millennia ago, only maybe the cave is taller. It probably depends on the geology. And of course, this picture's in color. Underground mining is backbreaking, dangerous work. And it pays low wages, at least relative to the value extracted from under the ground. The ancient Near East also knew about silver and gold and knew to mine for them down below the surface of the earth. The Greek word for underworld, the region under the surface of the earth, the Greek word for that is Hades, and it's named after the god who ruled it in Greek mythology. And the underworld was hot, and it was loud, just like a silver mine. People didn't even like to say the word Hades for fear of attracting the god of the underworld. So they also called that same god Pluto. Pluto comes from the Greek word for wealth. You call the god of the underworld after the word for wealth because riches come from the underworld, riches like silver and gold from a mine. Now you need to know that because Jesus, in just a moment, is going to tell us a story set in Hades. And when he talks about Hades, what you need to picture is this silver mine. Like being down deep in a mine, only in this particular understanding of Hades, you can see paradise from down there, which must make it all the hotter and louder and sadder. Now, modern Christians have inherited doctrines about hell and heaven as very particular kinds of places. But the Bible actually says very little about what hell or heaven may look like. I would contend that today's Bible story actually doesn't teach us anything about what heaven or hell might look like. This story is set in hell, in Hades, I guess I should say. It's set in Hades, but that's not the point. And when you hear what the point is, you may wish that Jesus were just teaching us about Hades. Please join me in a prayer for illumination. Gracious God, lead us along your way. Speak to us by your Spirit through these words of Scripture. Guide us, strengthen us, show us your face, and let us never stray. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Today's scripture reading comes from Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. Jesus is deep in an argument with the wealthy religious elite of his day. And Jesus says this: "There was a certain rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who longed to satisfy his hunger with what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs would come and lick his sores. The poor man died and was carried away by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. In Hades, where he was being tormented, he looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. He called out, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in agony in these flames.' But Abraham said, 'Child, remember that during your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things, but now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. Besides all this, between you and us a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you cannot do so, and no one can cross from there to us." He said, "Then, Father, I beg you to send him to my father's house, for I have 5 brothers, that he may warn them, so that they will not also come into this place of torment." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. They should listen to them." He said, "No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You know, this has been quite the year, hasn't it? March 14th was a Saturday last year, so 8,761 hours ago, accounting for daylight savings time, I sent an email to you all announcing that we were going to suspend in-person worship. It is mind-blowing how quickly we went from, "Ooh, I don't think we can probably serve cookies at coffee hour," to, "We are not going to have any gatherings until further notice." A colleague of mine said, "My goodness, what a year happened that week." The pandemic that we have experienced in really tangible ways now for the last year has expanded inequality along some really predictable lines, lines of race and education and economic status and gender, without any conscious decision on any of our parts. None of us voted for that to happen in a tangible way. The pandemic has exposed and magnified inequities that were already there in our world and that just got worse over this year. Like I said, today's scripture reading is not about heaven and hell. It's not about the afterlife. It's about this life. This life as viewed through a strange upside-down lens. It's like Jesus' mother sang about all those years ago, about filling the hungry with good things and sending the rich away empty. That's not the only time, and this is not the only time, that God asks us to imagine what it would look like if the world were turned upside down. And so in the story, we hear, let's call him Richie, Jesus doesn't give him a name. We hear Richie down there in Hades, remember, down deep in the silver mine, calling out to Father Abraham, the ancestor, "Send Lazarus to help me because I am in hell down here." And Abraham says, "You know, Richie, Lazarus spent his whole life in hell. I'm not sending him back there now." Okay, I said that this story is not about hell, but if it is, that's what it is. Now, if we worry about what happens to Richie, and I know I do, if we worry about what happens to Richie, we who have plenty may find ourselves tempted to defend him. Again, I'm speaking to those of us who have plenty, like me. If you are starving, you already see the good news in this story. Maybe Richie didn't build that gate that separated him from Lazarus. Maybe that gate has been there his entire life. Maybe that gate has been there for 402 years and longer before that. Maybe Richie didn't choose to be born inside the gate any more than Lazarus chose to be born outside of it. Maybe Richie even gave Lazarus some work here and there, at some mutually beneficial arrangement, even if it was maybe a little bit below the market rate in understanding of the situation that was at hand there. Maybe Richie even gave some great advice and ideas about how Lazarus could manage his situation in order to get out from the shadow of that gate. Now, those ideas never worked out for Lazarus, so there must be something else there about, you know, work ethic or ability, right? You know, come to think of it, Lazarus' family has been outside that gate for centuries. There must be something else going on there. See, Richie didn't set up the system where he feasts sumptuously every day and Lazarus withers at the gate. Just like we didn't choose the unfair outcomes of the COVID-19 pandemic. We didn't design this system, and certainly no one of us is powerful enough to change this system, are we? It's like Richie thought all along that he owned the gate outright and everything behind it, and then in this reversal, he learned that really God held the mortgage on that gate, and now the mortgage is due. Or he learned that the ancient ancestor Abraham had held all of this property in trust, held it in trust for Lazarus all along. It's like the way that many of us have looked again at the balance sheet of life in the United States and realized that people like me are deeply in a debt that we don't personally remember incurring. It's just always been there. A debt especially to Black and Indigenous and people of color in our country. It's not clear how we incurred that debt. It's often not clear how we would discharge that debt. And it can be hard for us even to face that past when it's unclear how to be set free from it. But I promise Jesus intends for us to be set free from it as well. See, the good news in this story is that God intends comfort and abundance for Lazarus too. That's the first most obvious piece of good news in this story, that the poor, excluded stranger at the gate is God's intended heir for every good thing creation has to offer. The gospel is for Lazarus first and last. But there's good news for us here too, good news for me here too. And that good news is that God does not intend for us to be separated from each other. The good news is that we are not ultimately trapped in a social and economic world where we just keep accruing debt century after century. The money and the status that many of us inherited are meant to help build the world as God intends it to be, intended it all along to be. Edgar Villanueva is a Native American philanthropist, and he writes, "Money is medicine. In Native traditions, medicine is a way of achieving balance. And what is money but a proxy for the relationship between people? Money is a tool to reflect the obligations people develop to each other as they interact. Money should be a tool of love, to facilitate relationships, to help us thrive rather than hurt and divide us. If it's used for sacred, life-giving, restorative purposes, money can be medicine." This week I offer to you a few faith practices that are really specifically about money, that are really specifically about grounding our use of money in relationships with our neighbors and in the world that God intends for us to live in relationship with our neighbors. So there's a practice about really extravagant tipping, remembering that the relationship that we have from one side of the apron to another is a relationship across that gate between the rich man and Lazarus. There's a practice about advocacy for people in poverty, and that advocacy goes best when we are in relationship with those for whom we are advocating. There's a practice about investing. If we're in a position to invest and direct those investments, can we invest in the world that God wants, the world we say we believe in? Are we willing to put our money where our values and our hopes are? These practices are not about accounting. These practices are not about telling you how to organize your financial life in the world. It's about questions. Questions about what is our relationship with money. And ultimately, because money is medicine, ultimately it's a question about our relationship with our neighbors beyond ourselves. It's about putting someone other than ourselves in charge of the money that we otherwise thought was ours. I hope you'll try one of those crazy faith practices this week, and I hope you'll let me know what you experience when you do. And I pray that we will all know the joy of sharing God's abundant goodness with our neighbors. In Jesus' name, amen. And now, a moment for mission.
Because healing empowers, Mama O is a survivor, a healer. Her moment of greatest need led her to Black Women's Blueprint, a civil and human rights organization headquartered in Brooklyn, New York. Since 2008, Black Women's Blueprint is specifically focused on the needs of Black women and girls. At 65 years of age, Mama O is among the eldest survivors of sexual violence in the organization. Despite living with the lifelong trauma that results from sexual violence, Mama O is a pillar of strength for other survivors, both young and old. Our One Great Hour of Sharing gifts are helping Black Women's Blueprint in its vital mission to take action on social justice issues and to deliver educational resources and support services to women like Mama O. Through their work, they seek to address the unique struggles of Black women and girls within the context of the larger racial justice concerns of Black communities. Through all of Mama O's ups and downs, she returns to community, holistically and ever present, said Savannah M. Brown, the organization's associate executive director. She has continued to contribute creative healing arts and spiritual intercessory prayer on behalf of our survivor communities, carrying us through transitions, challenges, and triumphs. Despite the challenges of the ongoing pandemic, Black Women's Blueprint continues to be out in the community, addressing issues of trauma and providing very important things like food and housing assistance that people need in order to be made whole. Mama O is just one example among the many women who now bless and lift up others, an ongoing benefit of the organization's partnership with the Presbyterian Church USA, for which Brown is especially grateful. We want to share our gratitude for the continued leadership that the One Great Hour of Sharing and Self-Development of People partnerships have shown over the years, said Brown. We are hopeful that times will grow brighter and that we will come out on the other side of this with more wisdom, care, compassion, and strategies for healing our communities and walking hand in hand towards a future of greater possibilities and opportunities to center survivors as the key to community thriving and justice. Thanks to our gifts to the One Great Hour Sharing program, programs like Black Women's Blueprint are lifting up women just like Mama O. Every gift makes a difference in the life of someone who deserves God's love and support, someone who deserves our love and support. We are the church together. And when we all do a little, it adds up to a lot. Let us pray. Holy and loving God, provider God, may our healing spring up quickly. As the prophet Isaiah proclaims, may these gifts, God our physician, be a balm and medication for your people and your world. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Learn more about our mission at wdmcovenant.org.